Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Joy Powers. Not surprisingly, restaurant critic Ann Christensen eats out a lot. I mean, that's her job. There are plenty of restaurants she's eaten at many times, clandestinely, of course.
But we all find a new place to eat now and then, and that goes for Anne as well. She's pulled together some of the most noteworthy new places to eat in the cover story of this month's Milwaukee Magazine, and she joins us now to give us a taste. Hi, Anne. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So we're talking about the best new restaurants, but before we talk about specific restaurants, I don't know that I know the answer to this question. We might have talked about it in the past, but how long do you, as a restaurant reviewer, wait before you actually go visit a new restaurant?
A new place. Well, it varies. I mean, I like to wait a couple of months, but there are times that something opens and it's a really big opening, you know, and because I'm looking at an issue that's coming up. I'm working about 2 months in advance. But our deadlines are really, they're not always that conducive to waiting 2 months. So I don't always have the luxury to do that. But that's what I like to do because it just, the restaurant benefits. Everybody benefits, you know, because, you know, sometimes a restaurant will open. Invariably, it'll open and there will be kinks to work out, whether it's service or food or a combination of both. Sometimes the full menu isn't available. Sometimes they don't even open in their full capacity, their hours and such. So I typically like to wait a little bit.
Right. This is like I wonder if when the pressure is on, there's a big new restaurant opening and you kind of have to review it in the first couple of weeks, whether you ever go back and, you know, after you've visited it once, gone back 6 months later to see if it's still either as good or has gotten better.
Well, I definitely do that. But you see, here's the strange thing about the world in which we live. You know, 10 years ago, you did not have social media that was just chronicling every step of the process of a restaurant opening. So the very second a restaurant opens, everybody knows about it now. Back then, you didn't have anybody doing this. So I think maybe they, you know, restaurants could hide out longer. They could be like, I'm going to have my quiet opening. You really can't have a quiet opening anymore. You know, you're going to, and a lot of them just get slammed right away.
Well, they get slammed. They could get slammed in both meanings of the word. Slammed
That
they're overwhelmed with customers,
yes.
And slammed because people aren't happy with how it went.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It's true. And for this story, you know, people might ask, well, how new is new? Well, these are restaurants that opened, I would say, anywhere in 2015 up until now. So here we are in the middle of 2016.
And they are numbered. So what do the numbers represent?
They're numbered, and people, and I address it in the intro to the story. It's really more or less a graphical element because I think it helps the eye. You know, I work very closely with our design department. Okay, here's another restaurant. That's number 5. Here's another restaurant. That's number 6. And so you know you're approaching a new particular write-up or a new restaurant here. But it also gives a perception that I am rating them, which I'm not doing, and I address that in the lead. They're not in any particular order.
Let's talk about a trend, because this is one of the unnumbered sections of this article. and Asian food is really hot in the region in more ways than one, potentially.
It is. We're seeing more Thai restaurants opening, Chinese. Obviously, we've always have Japanese. We're seeing the marriages of Asian cuisines, you know, Laotian and Thai under one roof, but more of these restaurants opening. But that's not the only thing. A lot of that's sort of trickling into more mainstream restaurants. So in that same section where I talk about the Asian trends, I pull out what I thought just kind of symbolizes a sort of what I consider to be the dish of the year, that idea of the dish of the year. And these are steamed buns. And these happen to be from a restaurant called Easy Tiger, which is not an Asian restaurant. It's a small plates restaurant on Brady Street. And it's one of their really delicious small plates. And I'm seeing steamed buns everywhere now. You know, this is getting to be really big. And we're going to see more kinds of Asian dumplings, I think, definitely over the summer at different restaurants, whether it's their happy hour or it's a Sunday night deal. You know, for instance, Braise is doing dim sum on Sunday nights. We're seeing more ramen coming in. I mean, this is just, it's trickling into so many different ways.
So let's talk about some of the restaurants that have numbers. And right at number one is a restaurant that people will say, wait a minute, that's not new. But of course, it is new. This is the newly, the reopened Karl Rotsch's.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But if you go there, you will say it is new, even though there's so much inside it that will be familiar. So for those who don't know this, Karl Rausch was sold earlier this year, or late last year, to the owner of Circa 1880, Thomas Hawk. And, you know, along with owning the restaurant, he has all of this stuff, really cool, a lot of really cool stuff, you know, old beer steins. That place is just like a museum.
It's a venerable name, and that's got to be a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have all this stuff that you have to cull through, and then you have people thinking, well, it's Karl Rausch. Oh, my gosh. This is where I've been going for sauerbraten and schnitzel for 60 years. Or I've always wanted to go there because I've heard it's so great. Well, yeah, he steps in, and he's doing a lot of really traditional things on the menu and then his own kind of interpretations of those traditional things. Beers, you know, brats, and like I said, schnitzel, sauerbraten, all those things. And it's a beautiful place. It's been really cleaned up. Very, you know, it's definitely very Germanic inside. I think you're going to go in there and you're going to feel the history of it.
It's a lot different than circa 1880.
But yes, it's a lot. It's the same designers, but they approached it as, this is an institution. Let's just kind of shine it up.
Well, and so for people who have grown up loving the old Karl Rausches, there's nothing there that might insult that memory.
I don't think so. I think anyone who's been there, who used to go there, will say it looks different. They're going to say, "Where's the piano?" You know, Liberace at one point in time played the piano here. You know, I mean, and there's probably like aesthetically some things that are definitely going to be different inside there, the furniture and such. But honestly, I think they'll be pleasantly surprised with the food. If you've never had crackling pork shank, get that. Go in there and get it. It's really incredible and it's huge. And I think that's one thing you might, you know, you're not gonna walk away hungry. You shouldn't walk away hungry.
Well, it's a German restaurant. If you walk away hungry,
right.
You've done something
yes,
seriously wrong.
It's your problem. Yeah, I think, you know, of all the ones, it doesn't quite define itself as new, but it is new. It's a redux, right?
So. Absolutely. Reinvigorated Karl Rausches.
Yeah.
We mentioned small plates, and aside from the steam buns, which are showing up on menus in a lot of places, you write about ID, which is in the Delafield Hotel and known for its small plates.
This place kind of caught me off guard. If you've ever been out to Delafield, the Delafield Hotel has been there. You know, it's been, you know, this old, I shouldn't say old, it's not old at all. It's made to look like this kind of replica. The whole town sort of looks like colonial Williamsburg. And the hotel previously, under previous owners, it had a very antique-y look. You'd go in, the hardwood floors, the old carpets, you know, very quiet, kind of stuffy little rooms. I mean, you kind of feel like you should be in there with like Queen Elizabeth or something. But so what happened was new owners purchased the hotel, completely redid it, modernized it. If you walk inside, you won't recognize it. And the restaurant is like a 180. You know, it has been opened up. It is bright, airy, beautiful, absolutely beautiful, and an open kitchen, so you can sit at a kitchen counter, and they changed to small plates, which in a way kind of surprised me, because I thought small plates have been around for a while. They have actually hung around longer than I would have expected, but it's being done really, really well. Jonna Freilich is the chef, and she had been there when Andrew's was open, which is the previous restaurant before ID, and she's carried over and is doing this really great small plates menu at this venue. And I think it's a fun place to even take a drive from Milwaukee. And I mean, it's only like, you know, 30, 35 minutes. You get right off of 94 and you're right there. It's really fun. And it ended up making the cover because the plates are really gorgeous. It has this open kitchen. You can watch, you know, the chef's work, which is one of the things I love to do.
So that is ID in the Delafield Hotel. Checking in at number 6 in no particular order.
Thank you.
is Company Brewing. It's in River West. And the thing that jumped out at me, you know, you have these little sections of each of these restaurants where you say, try this. The at the top of the list at Company Brewing is the fried pig's ear with fish sauce. And that, if I saw it on a menu, seems like the last thing I might try.
I've had fried pig's ears before on, I believe, at Rumpus Room on their little snack menu. Easy Tiger does the same thing, but as a taco. So they have these like little fried pig's ear tacos. You will not believe that you are eating. I don't. You won't know what you're eating. They're crispy. They're addictive. And once they've been breaded and deep fried, you really are not going to know what they are. But they're so delicious, and you won't be able to stop eating them. So.
I imagine them as chewy. I'm kind of picturing.
They're not chewy. They're not chewy. I mean, they definitely have a little bit of texture to them, but I think frying them makes them more crispy than chewy.
You've mentioned him a couple of times at this point. We should touch on Easy Tiger.
Yeah, Easy Tiger, again, another small place restaurant, and I don't want it to sound like all of the restaurants in here are small plates. They are definitely not. But that was another one that opened on Brady Street, and I think a lot of people think of Brady Street as a place to go to eat, and there's so much variety there. And this is a restaurant that opened in an old Thai restaurant, and again, a complete, 180 from the place that was there before. Very bright, very energetic, fun, really fun place. Unexpectedly, kind of, again, another one that sort of caught me off guard. And a great little small plate venue that I think for the summer is like a great place to go in and have a cocktail and a few plates and hang out.
You also write about some of the restaurants that did not open in time to make it into this issue. In fact, some of them are not open yet. What are the ones that you have your eyes on, just out of curiosity, for the next, 6 months?
Some of the ones I'm looking at, Like Minds is a restaurant it's actually a brewery, a microbrewery.
There are a bunch of these that are opening, right?
And this is the thing, these little breweries that are also restaurants. This one happens to be co-owned by Justin Abrahamian from Sanford. And so it's going to be a brewery and have a menu as well. One of his employees is going to be Paul Funk, who used to work at Hinterland. He was the sous chef there and the butcher. So they're going to be doing some fun things there. Also, this is a huge one, the Journeyman Kimpton Hotel in the Third Ward. Oh, actually, I think it's Kimpton Journeyman Hotel. This hotel is opening, I think, right as we speak. The hotel is in the process of opening. It's going to be open really soon. And there's a restaurant in there called Tre Ravalli. That's the name of it. Has not opened yet. And the chef was a Top Chef contestant. She's from the Chicagoland area. So that's a huge one that I'm looking at.
I know there are a couple more Bartolotta restaurants opening up out at the Mayfair Collection. Are those
Bartolotta
restaurants?
Yeah, actually, there's some that the brew pub. No, it's not a brew pub. Actually, it's more of a, because they're not brewing beer there. It's more of a pub. I guess it's just a pub that recently opened. A taqueria just opened, and they're doing a French bistro that is coming soon. That's huge out in the Mayfair Collection. Pastiche is going to open, or is moving rather, from Bayview to the Hotel Metro. That's going to happen in September. There's a lot of things going on.
Always an interesting dining scene in Milwaukee, and so we will count on you to come back and tell us about the latest.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Ann.
Ann Christensen is dining critic and senior editor at Milwaukee Magazine and a regular Lake Effect contributor. Her best new restaurants feature is the cover story in the July issue of Milwaukee Magazine, and you can find a link to more from WUWM.com.